Well, good afternoon, Saskatchewan. Welcome to the Wednesday edition of... It is Wednesday, right?
Don't do this to me.
Locker Britton and I are still trying to figure out what day of the week what is.
We got back Monday, right?
Sure. Game Sunday, that makes sense. Parade day Tuesday. Welcome to the one. Yeah, we figured it out. Wednesday edition of the Green Zone. Garbage bag day happening now at Mosaic Stadium. Each every day we begin the Green Zone with the starting lineup, the top sports headlines, and happening now at Mosaic Stadium is the final media availability with the players as a team for the 2025 championship season of the Saskatchewan Roughriders. Our Britton Gray is there. Trevor Harris and Corey Mace will speak at the podium today, and then, of course, Britton will head into the Rider locker room one last time to talk to some of the players. Britton and I were going through the free agent list. It is a lengthy one. There are going to be
lots of work to do.
A lot of names you know and love from this championship team who are pending free agents. But no bigger question needs to be answered today than this. What is the future of Trevor Harris? I don't expect a full answer today, but we'll see if he gives any indication on what happens with number 7 and the Saskatchewan Roughriders.
Free agency this year, comparatively speaking to past years.
I think there's a lot more this year.
Yeah.
Okay. But when everybody first arrived last year, when they signed them to 2-year deals through 2025. So now all those deals are coming off the books, like Hardrick and Ouellette, et cetera, right? So
yeah.
That leads to more free agents this year. Everybody usually has 24 or more free agents. The Riders might have 3 dozen or so free agents for 2026.
All right, we'll move over to the NHL. Plan the parade. The Leafs got to win.
We cut the line. Kicks it free for Riley. Drops it back to Nylander. Pulls it around. Nylander back and just scores. William Nylander, overtime winner.
I did not watch the full game. I watched the highlights. I did hear some analysis about last night's Leafs game, and everybody said it was an awful game.
Yeah, it wasn't good.
Having said that, that Nylander goal was spectacular. If you are not a Leafs fan, but you're a hockey fan, go look it up. It was, yeah, that one's going to be on the highlight reels for the year. Joseph Woll made 27 saves. His second start of the season, he's had some injury issues. Mm-hmm. So he was back in the net last night. Speaking of injuries, the Leafs are just decimated right now. Matthews not playing. Lawton. Carlo, Tanev, Stolarz is hurt. Even Matthew Nyes, who's been pretty consistent at the front end of the season for the Toronto Maple Leafs, he's got a lower body thing that's been keeping him out of the lineup. Well, kept him out of the lineup last night. So next up for the Blues, they visit Philadelphia on Thursday, and the Leafs are still at home. They will be hosting Columbus. The Blue Jackets are a bit of a wagon this year. That's on Thursday as well.
Also in the NHL last night, Celebrini and Bedard both get hat tricks.
From its own zone for the hat trick. He's got it! Connor Bedard, second career hat trick.
Macklin loads up, shoots, and scores! Celebrini, a game winner, and a hat trick.
Man, Connor Bedard loves playing the Calgary Flames. In 2 games this year, he has 4 goals and 3 assists for 7 points in 2 games against Calgary. A hat trick last night. Macklin Celebrini, as you heard, overtime winner as the Sharks won. Bedard and Celebrini, of course, the way they're playing, they're now in the top 4 of scoring. The other 2 in the top 4 are Nathan MacKinnon and Connor McDavid. Then you got Bedard and Celebrini right there with them. The debate continues to get turned up whether or not both Bedard and Celebrini should be on the Canadian Olympic team when it's announced. I think it's next month when it's expected to be
Christmas.
Announced. You think it's Celebrini,
still taking
not Bedard.
Celebrini ahead of Bedard?
Yeah, ahead. You keep on saying ahead. You're not taking both?
No.
You're going to leave the fourth highest scorer in the NHL at home. Okay, that's a decision. The way he's playing away from the puck this year, I'm seeing a bigger, stronger, I think faster Connor Bedard this season.
Still not taking him.
Macklin Celebrini is going to be on the team. I'm sure of that. Bedard, I could see him squeezing into that like 13th.
It'll depend on injuries, I think, right?
Drew Amenda's coming up. We'll talk to Drew about if he's putting Bedard on the Olympic team or not.
NBA. 40-year-old LeBron James makes his season debut.
Biggest deficit was 11. Well, here LeBron. We go. Welcome back. Lob. Throw it down. DeAndre Ayton, the lob, and the jam from James.
All right. 23 years. Was he 17 when he started?
18.
So this is just, he's going to be turning 41. I'm like, 23, he's 40. Did he just turn 40? Was he? Anyway. LeBron had a double-double in his season debut, and that has nothing to do with Tim Hortons. 11 points, 12 assists. Luka had a good night as well. 37 points and 10 assists. The Lakers get a big win over the Utah Jazz last night. Bronny James, just in case you were curious, played the final 3 minutes and 33 seconds and hit 1 3-pointer.
Good for him. Nepotism is awesome. As Shedeur Sanders, speaking of which, makes his first NFL start on Sunday.
You know, I like pressure in life. I'm just excited for everything. So, you know, I feel like I'm the guy. I know I'm the guy. But, you know, you just have to be able to see. The game got to speak.
The game does have to speak, young man. He'll make his first start against the Las Vegas Raiders, so it's guaranteed win night for the Cleveland Browns against the Raiders this coming week. Of course, Dylan Gabriel, he's got a concussion. Sanders was going into the depth chart in training camp behind Pickett and Flacco. Flacco's traded. Pickett's out. Gabriel's out. So here we go. Shedeur Sanders will be the 42nd quarterback to start for the Browns since 1999. That is
a lot of rookies.
Unbelievable number. 18 rookies.
18 rookies.
Well, you had Manziel. To think they had Baker Mayfield. They had Baker Mayfield, and they went, let's get Deshaun Watson in the midst of a bunch of sex scandal. That'll be a smart decision for our organization. What's Baker ever going to do? Oh, lead Tampa Bay to a division title and be a quarterback that we kind of should have kept around here.
Are the Browns the dumbest team in, or is it the Cowboys?
Ooh,
what's the dumbest team in the NFL?
I think the worst managed team is the Browns. The worst, it's hard to say
the
worst
Jets.
Owned is, oh, the Jets are up there
the
too.
Jets
the
are
Raiders up. Are in the conversation. Yeah. There you have it.
Yeah,
Shedeur Sanders. We'll see how he does, but it's against the Raiders. So
the Browns might be the dumbest team in the NFL.
It should be a win for the Browns over the Raiders this Sunday.
I'm sure that won't go to his head.
Coming up, we'll have more from Garbage Bag Day. Corey Mace, the first to speak at the podium, then Trevor Harris. I imagine Trevor might get asked about his future today. Wonder if that'll be at all part of the conversation. With the media, garbage bag day for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders as they celebrate their fifth Grey Cup championship. First time in a while they've had the Grey Cup out the podium for garbage bag day. It's a nice look. Coming up next year on the Green Zone. Oh, please, someone think of the children. And although I think too many people are thinking of the children today in Saskatchewan, this is 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. It is garbage bag day for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Head coach Corey Mace talking about the Grey Cup with media, including our very own Britton Gray.
You know, I think here it really hasn't changed. You know, the fact that there was four, now there's five. Like, does that make anybody feel really, really awesome? Like, let's see how many we can compete for. You know, every year I feel like as many people as we can get back, we put ourselves in contention to to get another run at it, you know. And I know that excites a lot of guys in that locker room. So, you know, from coaches and players alike, you know, I know a lot of things go into to putting a team together. But being motivated to do something special here, nobody's ever won two in a row here. You know what I mean? So I know this group. That would bring excitement to the guys to come together and try to do something that's not been done here before. So, you know, I don't know. Maybe we should have started handing out contracts the last couple nights when these guys are out, you know. But, you know, go about the professional way. Yeah, man, there's motivation for sure.
That is Corey Mace from Garbage Bag Day. Mace says on a scale of 1 to 10 how badly he wants Harris to be his quarterback next season, it's a 10. And no player or coach has let him know yet that they won't be back for 2025. So it is a highly interested group for the Rough Riders to try to go back-to-back in 2026 with this championship.
Let's do it.
Corey Mace was also asked about the, apparently the topic du jour for the Evan Bray show was the public drinking and a few F-bombs that were dropped at the celebratory parade yesterday. Corey Mace admits that was actually pretty PG for how he usually speaks around the team and just speaks anyways and doesn't think one day should blemish at all how much the these guys cherish being role models for the organization. I'll be honest, I'm done with this conversation. I really am. I hate every part of it. These guys have won a championship. We have seen championship parades be a lot more debauchery than this one was yesterday.
Yeah,
this is their last 3 days together as a team. They're in front of the community. Yes, they have been drinking. Yes, they have been celebrating. Yes, when you have alcohol, some things get slipped through, like a few F-bombs. I hope we're all grown up enough that we can get through this. Because I think it's an absolute joke. It's an absolute joke, in my opinion, that these guys have any criticism for celebrating a championship. How every other... Actually, not how every other team. Other teams have celebrated with a lot more debauchery than this one, where guys, no guy went to the mic, as we've seen in the past, sounding inebriated. Nobody went to the mic, everybody, let's say Regina. Like, no, that didn't happen. It happens in Chicago. It happens in NHL all the time. This team won a championship. This team deserves to celebrate, and this community wanted to party with them, and you got to party with them. Sorry about the F-bombs. Do you know who wasn't offended? I wasn't. My kids were there. They weren't. Oh, my goodness. I said, how'd you think of the parade? Did you hear Corey swear? And they kind of chuckled. Like, yeah. Mike, yeah. Right? You know that's an adult word, and adults can use those words, and they know that. And I was like, that's enough of this. We're not doing this. That's all I'm talking. That's it. That's all I'm doing about this one topic today. I know Daryl asked him the question. Daryl might want to bring it up, but I'll tell Daryl what I just told you. If you have an issue with it, go hide in your basement and never watch sports again. You might hear an F-bomb. It is a locker room clean-out day for your Grey Cup champion. Saskatchewan Rough Riders Britton Gray is there with the latest. Trevor Harris getting to the podium as we speak, and we'll bring you the highlights of getaway day for the Rough Riders. The last time they gather in that locker room as a team celebrating their 2025 Grey Cup championship. And of course, Mosaic Stadium makes way for the Vanier Cup. This weekend, we'll play home to the national championship for university football, and it's your University of Saskatchewan Huskies against the Montreal Carabins, and head coach Scott Flory joins us again. I'm glad we're joined by you again this week like we were last week, Scott. Congratulations on getting to the Vanier again.
I appreciate that, Jamie. Yeah, thanks. Good to talk to you, too.
So now, I'm just going to go back to last week's conversation. How do you feel now that the Grey Cup is over and the Rough Riders have won and it didn't end in a tie like you were potentially hoping between the Alouettes and the Rough Riders?
Man, what a great game, though. I think that that's what the Canadian football game is all about. Big plays, good defense, special teams, turnovers, right? Like, it was physical, it was fast. Man, that's the, as a fan, right, that's just what you want. You want a great football game, and that's what it was.
Scott, just a quick reminder, you're on live, so no swearing, okay?
Yeah, absolutely. I'll keep that to a minimum. Appreciate that.
Thank you. Thank you. Just thought I'd say that out loud.
Yesterday, the other coach of a football team squeaked one in on air, so we're just making sure.
Oh, okay. I'm trying to recap. I'm like, I don't think I just swore, did I? I'm like, okay.
No, we're just sort of referencing a conversation we've been having most of the day. Scott, your defense goes out, shuts down Queens. How impressed were you, and how important is it that they step up again in the Vanier Cup?
Well, absolutely. I think they've been, they've been rock steady all season long for us. We had to, just some changes on staff. I brought a new defensive coordinator. I brought him in, but he's already on staff. And Coach Halseth, Cody Halseth, and he's just done a phenomenal job. I mean, the boys up front, our box play with our, D-line and linebackers, to me, is they're outstanding. They're some of the best, if not the best, in the country, and they hope to put that on display on Saturday. But their defense has just been, they got the one touchdown, and then they got inside the 10-yard line of defense, clamped down, and held them to a field goal. Outside of that, it was, we gave up a few yards here and there, but it was just, it's all about points, and that's at the end of the day what it's about.
Your last two trips to the Vanier Cup, 2021, 2022, of course, both six-point losses, Scott. What do you, as a head coach, go, okay, learn from that? What are you learning from those moments to get the job done this Saturday?
Yeah, I think it's not that the messaging has changed. I think just having gone through some of that stuff, it's just about the opportunities. There's going to come a point in the game that I know that we're going to have to make a risky call. I shouldn't say a risky call, but we're going to have to be a little bit more aggressive. And if you don't know when that's going to come. It's going to be at some point. Something's going to be there. And it's like, okay, maybe we go for it on third and two instead of kicking a field goal, or so, you know what I mean? Some kind of situation like that. And we've got to be able to execute in those situations. Usually these games, I think as you saw on Sunday, it's about, obviously line of scrimmage play, time possession, all that kind of stuff, but it's about opportunities and not making mistakes. So if you have opportunities to make plays, turnovers, things like that, you got to have those and make those plays. And then also on the flip side of that, it's about limiting mistakes. So if you got a route to run the route, right? If you got a block or a tackle to make in open space, you got to make that play and know what you're doing and know where you need to be.
Scott, you know what kind of team you have, and I want to ask a question where we talk about not so much what you guys are good at on the field. Defense, offense, whatever it might be. I want you to try to pinpoint something that about this squad that you've been running this year is the reason why you're at this point.
Yeah, I got 100%. I know the answer. It's veteran leadership. We've had the same group of leaders here for the last couple years. We lost one early in Lane Novak, a linebacker with us. He made the Bombers there, but we got the other two guys back and two Saskatchewan Rough Rider picks that I know Rider fans will be cheering for years to come, in Seth Hundeby and Daniel Weeb. But those guys, I mean, they run the locker room. I'm not kidding when I say I don't do much. I kind of put the schedule up, and if there's any issues or there's any conflict, whatever, those guys handle it all, and they have complete command and control of this football team, and that's how you win.
Scott Fleury, head coach of the University of Saskatchewan Huskies football team, on their way to Regina for the Vanier Cup this Saturday against the University of Montreal. I'm going to go back to the news last week. It hit everybody hard with what Anton Amanrud disclosed about his health and his battle. How did the team rally around Anton for that Mitchell Bowl championship, and how much will you be rallying around him this week for a national championship?
Yeah, last week was a bit of a blur. I mean, honestly, I'm just walking up to meetings here 5 minutes ago, and and was just so much further ahead on the offensive side. It kind of, I don't really remember much of, you know, the first couple days of the week last week. It was heavy news. Players processed it. You know, however people use it, motivate and internalize that. Anton's one of those leaders on our football team. He got dealt, you know, vicious news here last Monday. We dealt with it Tuesday. And it's an ongoing thing. I mean, you know, fingers crossed he can get out and get down to the game on Saturday to be there to support his team. If not, I know he'll be cheering us on from, you know, from my, if he's out of the hospital or at home or whatever the case is. But, I know he's a fighter, man. The kid, he's integral to this team, and you just see the love and support that his teammates have for him. So, you know, from a football side of things, it's, you know, it's better this week because we actually, you know, have been able to process and work through some of the thoughts and emotions and feelings. But, obviously he's still a huge part of it and still weighs heavy on our minds.
Scott, I'm very curious about how teams prepare week in, week out, right? And I know, listen, 1-0, all the cliches, but there has to be, do you prep differently? Are you getting ready for this game a bit differently than you did the regular season?
I don't. I think that the one part is it takes more time just to familiarize yourself. Like, this is the second time in program history that we've ever played the University of Montreal. Last week was Queens. That was the second time in program history. I mean, both of those programs have been around for a long time, or maybe the third time that we've ever played. So, you're going to watch, and you're going to watch more tape and familiarize yourself. But like, we approach, and I think it's just a steady approach to, man, be it a non-conference game, be it week three on the road or the Hardy Cup or the Mitchell Bowl, is that we're going to prepare our butts off, and get our players ready to go. I really do. I'm not that there's football gods or anything like that. I don't know about any of that business, but I love this game so much and you got to respect it, because the second you take that stuff for granted, I think you get got, and it's so disingenuous. So it's not who we are.
All right. So let's focus on what you're up against. Quarterback Montreal, Pepe Gonzalez, and of course, kind of a rookie season for him. What's he do well? What are you prepping for with a quarterback, of course, you've never seen before?
Yeah, no, he's got a whip. He's aggressive. He pushed the ball down the field. He can air it out. He can throw the ball. He can run. He's elusive, but he's a run to throw kind of guy, not a run to run kind of guy. So, but he will get out of the pocket. So we got to make sure we contain him. They got a big offensive line. They're going to, you know, protect well. They do a lot of 6-7 man protection stuff. So, they're going to try and make sure that he's, you know, protected there. So we got to get after it. I know that our defense will. And then it just comes down to, you know, be it coverages or opportunities. We had three opportunities for interceptions there last week and off our hands all three times. So when we get those opportunities, we got to make sure that we're capitalizing, that on the defensive side.
Scott, we talk about this usually more in the Memorial Cup time, especially way back in the day where the Quebec teams play different than the Western teams and the Ontario teams. Do you see that in football? Do you see different mindsets from, you know, conference to conference or not?
That's a great question. I would say this. I said this to the team too on day one. The Quebec Conference is more similar to CanWest than it is dissimilar. Whereas Ontario in our football universe seems to be the outlier. They're more dissimilar than they are similar. So for us, we look at some similarities in the coverages and their offenses and how they run. So we can see a lot of, you know, oh, this is a formation, or we run a play like this in the Quebec Conference. And I think it's part of that, the heavy kind of pro influence that we have out west. And I think they have in Quebec, especially with those top two programs. Whereas it's a little bit different in Ontario. They just play a little bit different style. So it's a little bit hard. You know, like I said, it's a little bit more, different from how we operate in the CanWest.
So you're coming down to Regina on the weekend here to play in the Vanier Cup. Obviously, it's being hosted here, Mosaic Stadium. I'm looking forward to it. Do you know anything about how fans are getting down? Like, is the school renting buses? Like, what does that look like, Scott?
I honest to God, I don't have enough time to deal with that. So I'm sure I'm trusting the people at the university are dealing with that. Man, I mean, at the end of the day, I think I've driven that road a million times in my life, it feels like. So I'm sure that the fans, anybody from Saskatoon that wants to get down, and hopefully People in Regina just want to come out and watch a good football team and football game and a couple good programs going at it. Because it's going to be a beautiful afternoon from the weather forecast, and I think it's going to be
6 degrees. Like, what is going on? 6 degrees on. Yeah, no kidding.
Or is it like the Riders a couple of weeks ago in BC was coming? Actually, I'd rather it be a little chillier for our Eastern visitors, Scott.
No, I want a clean game. Clean field, clean game, man.
Are you a dome guy for a championship game, Scott? Would you rather be like, hey, let's have pristine conditions? Or not?
Hell no. Give me the fog. Give me the snow. Give me the blizzard. That's where it's at. Absolutely.
Okay, so Quebec City was your first venue as head coach, of course, going back to the day. Then it was London. How nice is it that it is a two-hour drive away for fans to get to the Vanier Cup support the Huskies?
Yeah, it is. It's fantastic. I mean, it's twice that it's been held outside of Eastern Canada. 2006 here in Saskatoon and now obviously in Regina, and you know, pretty proud to say that this program was in it both times, or is in it both times. We're just hoping for a different outcome, because in 2005 there, 2006, whenever it was, the Huskies lost to Laval, so we're looking to right that wrong and get a win on Saturday.
One of the coldest games in Vanier Cup history was that one in Saskatoon.
We don't get a lot of Vanier Cups in the West, do we?
Well, they just started moving it around. What was that? Early 2000s. It was in Toronto every single year for the Vanier Cup. So it's only been moving for about 20 years now. But Saskatoon and Vancouver got one back in 2011. They correlated it with the Grey Cup for a couple of years.
Yep.
So that was Grey Cup Vancouver, and Vanier Cup played the night before. Scott, I don't know. There's a pancake breakfast locker and IRM seeing on Friday. I hope to see you there in Regina. How many pancakes would you consume for a breakfast?
I'm trying to keep a post-football figure, so I stay away from pancakes, man.
I've noticed, Scott.
I'll have yours.
We were talking to Seth about that. We were talking to Seth about that. I'm like, sometimes O-linemen can go one of two ways at post-career. And Scott went the one direction that you'd prefer to go, which is cut weight.
Scott, you look good. You look good right now.
Starting to look more like a tight end rather than an offensive lineman, Scott.
Yeah.
I appreciate that. Working hard.
You can tell he's got a bit of Hoggy in him still, though. You could hear the disappointment in not being able to take part in the pancake breakfast. I could feel it. I could feel it oozing through the phones.
Well, Scott, best of luck on a Saturday, and I'm sure we'll see you later in the week in Regina.
Appreciate it, gents. Thanks for all the support.
That is Scott Flory, head coach of the University of Saskatchewan Huskies football program.
I like Scott.
His third Vanier Cup appearance, 0-2 so far, trying to get that first win for the Vanier Cup as a head coach. He's won it as a player, now trying to win it as the head coach of the Huskies.
Let's go.
Coming up next, this day in sports history, a very memorable day when the Rider underdogs upset the evil empire. We'll remember it next on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.
Hepbridge Farm remembers.
Behind the left of Patterson. On the door! On the door!
Game series! Toronto has won!
The Mill! Oh my goodness! What a goal! What a ball! The Mill! Oh baby!
It's better promise me I'll be back.
On this day in sports history, it was November the 19th, 1989. The 9-9 Saskatchewan Roughriders go to Edmonton for the West Final against the 16-2 Edmonton Eskimos. The Riders, heavy underdogs, blitz the heck out of Tracy Ham all night long.
If they do it again, yes, sir. Ham has it dropped, and the ball is picked up by the Riders.
The 16-2 regular season record of the Edmonton Eskimos has become a memory. It wasn't supposed to be this way, but this is the way it is. The Saskatchewan Roughriders, West Division champions, Grey Cup bound to meet Hamilton, and the biggest day in the head coaching career of John Gregory is this day.
Which was incorrect a week later, when, of course, they'd win the 1989 Grey Cup. But the West Final, when the Riders rolled into Edmonton against the 16-2 Eskimos, And I think they ran 30 blitzes that day against Tracy Ham, and he couldn't figure it out for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. One of the biggest upsets in a CFL history for that 9-9 pesky Riders team that would go on to win it all a week later.
Were you surprised?